Hi there, it's Melvin. Just wanted to take a moment to thank the team over at Thrizer for supporting this month's podcast sessions. Thrizer is a payment platform that you have to check out if you are a private pay therapist and accepting out-of-network benefits. It basically helps clients save on therapy upfront. Thrizer can help verify a client's out-of-network benefit ahead of the first session so that they get transparency up front on what their out-of-pocket costs will be. I'll tell you more about Thrizer here in the middle of our session, but if you go to sellingthecouch.com/Thrizer, you actually and then enter the code STC upon sign up, you get your first $2,500 in fees waived. Again, that's over at sellingthecouch.com/Thrizer, and be sure to enter the promo code STC. So we'll jump right into today's podcast session. Hi there, welcome to session 74 of Selling the Couch. Hope you are having a great week. Spring is officially here in Philly, and we are enjoying some amazing weather, and I'm finally getting out to do some much-needed self-care via gardening. Today's podcast conversation is just a beautiful topic, and I'm so excited to share it with you. My guest today is Marissa Gowdy. Marissa is a writing coach that works with helpers and healers, and the topic for today is connecting with clients through story, especially on our private practice websites. You know, I can't remember where I heard this. It may have been like a TED Talk, even a couple of years ago, but it was talking about the importance of story and how we are all hardwired for story. And I just thought that idea of being hardwired for story was just such a beautiful way of putting it. And I think that's absolutely true, that whether it's online or just with people, I think when we know context and when we know the story of why something exists, we're much more likely to connect with it, as opposed to, for example, on a website, just sharing credentials. Today's conversation, we're going to cover a number of things, including why is story so important? What are some of the elements of a great story, especially as a business owner, thinking about how to incorporate those elements onto the ways that you do business, but also onto your website? And we're going to actually cover that part as well, which is what are some of the ways that therapists can begin to tell stories on their websites that actually connect with their ideal clients. And we navigate this area of how do you share a little bit about yourself? How do you be vulnerable without passing any sort of a boundary where you're actually sharing too much about yourself on your private practice website? Marissa has a wealth of information, so let's just get started with today's conversation. So here's my conversation with Marissa Gowdy from marissagowdy.com. Hi, Marissa. Welcome to Selling the Couch.
Oh, Melvin, thanks so much for having me.
I'm looking forward to our conversation because I love stories, and I think the power of stories, and especially as it applies to businesses, is something we definitely don't talk about. And so I'm excited to hear and learn from you.
Oh, I'm really excited to be here too. I think that storytelling is kind of a secret superpower all of us have, but we don't all know how to access it and how to use it.
All right. So I'm going to hold you to being able to access the superpower by the end of this podcast.
No pressure.
I wanted to start by asking, like, and I think you're right, like story is such a natural part of us, but why is story so important?
You've probably heard, you know, human beings are hardwired for story, and humans are the storytelling animal. And there's been a lot of hype and talk about storytelling, and everyone has a story to tell. And in this case, I think there's a lot of truth behind the hype. Mm. And we all do have our own stories, our origin stories, the stories we live every day, that bigger story that we're here to tell. And we're immersed in story all the time. It's the way we get from here to there inside our brains. And when we can start using story to help serve us and we understand what a story can do in terms of just affecting a person when you're having a conversation with them, or whether it's when you're writing something that you want to use in a blog post or an article or something to kind of inspire someone to take action, story is the ideal way to do it because we want story. That's how, as I said, it's how we make sense of our world.
Yeah. I mean, I'm always like, I'm almost thinking of like blog posts that I've read, and the blog posts that have some sort of a story, I just notice naturally as I'm reading the blog post, I start to get this like visual of the person going through it, you know?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. I mean, you know, we can read so many, you know, top 7 ways to do this or that. Mm. And if we need one of those suggestions, maybe we'll apply it and it'll actually change our lives. Mm. But you're much more likely to get to those 7 recommendations, to pay enough of attention to really take that action when you feel connected to the writer, when you feel connected to just the story that they're telling, because it isn't necessarily a personal story that people respond to. We respond to just anything that has a good beginning, middle, and end and has some transformation to it.
I've always just been very fascinated because, and I don't actually even remember where I, it's either a blog post or a TED Talk or something, but it was talking about like the most successful businesses that is not just about like a logo, it's that they have a story that people resonate with.
Absolutely. I mean, why do we buy Apple computers instead of a PC from no-name brand? It's mm-hmm. because Apple's created an absolutely brilliant story about who you are when you hold an iPhone or what it means to have a MacBook. And, you know, the operating system isn't necessarily any better. Mm-hmm. It's just the story around this is part of my identity because I've made this particular choice.
Yeah, it's so interesting, right? Like it triggers almost like all these underlying emotional factors that makes us feel much more connected to that product.
Stories are all about emotion. I mean, I think they're really a vehicle that makes an emotion transfer from one person to another, especially in writing, because, you know, that whole concept of show rather than tell, it is really important. You know, just saying, I felt really sad is very different than describing what had gone on to get you to that point, what adversity you had faced, what had happened that morning before you left the house. That's going to connect in a much more visceral way.
Hmm. I'm like excited for this conversation because I feel like this idea of story can translate so well to us as private practitioners and how we communicate on our websites. Just thinking out loud, like what are some of those elements of a great story, especially kind of from a business perspective?
So, you know, if you're thinking about story at its most basic, it's about beginning, middle, and end. Mm-hmm. It's about setting the scene, some rising action, a climax, and a resolution. So that's what you would learn in English class, right? Mm-hmm. And if you have a brain that works that way, if, you know, you're an English major before you got your master's degree, then perhaps that works for you. But I think what's more applicable for the private practitioner and for someone who's thinking about using this for blogging is it's a story is about a transformation. It's about a change from one state to another. And when you can pull the reader along with you through that process, through that sort of evolution of a situation, rather than just saying, you know, you're having this problem, you know, you're having a difficult time talking to your partner or spouse about what it's like to be in business for yourself. And then you give a bunch of recommendations. Mm. That's one way to go about it. Or you bring somebody into the scenario where you introduce what kind of conflict somebody might be experiencing when they're having trouble talking to a partner about what it's like to be an entrepreneur and in business for yourself. You know, you talk about what happens in that 1 o'clock in the morning conversation in bed when it's just the two of you and you've got a huge problem heavy in your heart, your partner can see it, and you begin to talk about how to resolve it. That introduces the solutions that you can offer because as a practitioner, as a blogger, you're writing a post in order to give your reader some new ideas, but you're introducing it by telling a story that draws them in and makes them really feel something first.
Mm. You know, I feel like just having conversations with colleagues, I think like especially on a website, right? What's natural is just kind of
stating what we do, right? What our specialty is, but stories, there's something that's much deeper. So I guess my thought was, how do you transition from operating in that way of meaning, like using a website just to like say exactly what you do, to making it more narrative or story-based?
I think a lot of it is getting back to what you know of your ideal client. And then don't just think of them as an ideal client. Think of them as an ideal reader. It's not just about what service they want when they walk into your office. It's taking it in another direction. What do they need to hear? What do they want to hear when they first read you on your website? And human beings need and want stories. And that's across the board. You know, I promise that your ideal client, your ideal reader needs stories. And it doesn't matter what angle they're coming at, what part of the market, what your niche is, stories are what really connect people. And so when you can start looking at your content in that way, whether it's your about page or your homepage, or most especially your blog posts, it's when you're able to say, okay, what does my ideal reader want? They want to be taken on a little tiny journey. They want to go, you know, kind of go up that, picture the story arc. It's also that transformation arc of, I've got this problem. I don't yet know what my solution is. It got really, really hard. Oh, I found what I needed. And then there's that resolution. When you can take them along that path, then you're going to be connecting in a much more real and palpable way.
I don't know, as you were talking, like, I just feel like one blog post that is written in that structure is going to have much more power than like six blog posts written like in kind of a traditional way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, you can get the same kind of basic information in there, whether, you know, it's your call to action to join your list or to book an appointment or to, you know, take you up on your free opt-in offer. But you're performing the same action in a different way. You yourself are still conveying the information, but you're wrapping it in a story. It's kind of that idea of, you know, you have a hard time getting your kid to eat broccoli. Well, if you mush it around in the mashed potatoes a little bit, then there's a really good chance they're going to at least try it and maybe even have another bite after that.
You call yourself a storyteller who helps with content creation. And you started to talk about this idea of blogging because I feel like that's where your passion is, right? Helping others tell their stories and tell stories that connect through blogging. I want to spend a good amount of time on that. So tell us like a little bit more about how you imagine a blog, especially for a private practitioner.
So I think, you know, a blog is often on many people's should list of, I have to do that. I have to make time for that. I know I have to be blogging. And I know it can be a pretty serious chore and something that is often a source of guilt if it's something that you find you have a hard time getting to. And I think one way to be able to make it a priority and actually find you're getting the writing done is that you are getting something out of it yourself. And I think that when you tell a story, you have the opportunity to dive into your own thinking, to potentially dive into your own history, your own process, and learn something more about yourself and your theories and your philosophy, because you have to engage in it with more senses than just, I am now conveying some information. Here are the six bullet points that you need to get. Instead, you're saying, okay, how does this affect the heart? How does this affect the body? How can I make this into more, you know, fully realized wisdom? Story gives you that opportunity because it requires you to step in a more whole way. So I think one of the first things about storytelling in your blogging is that it makes it more sustainable for you. And because stories connect, you're more likely to have readers who are responding to the blog with comments, or they're sharing it in their social media feeds, and you're feeling like you're getting something more back because your readers actually care. You know, I mean, blogging is one of those things that, you know, would you keep doing it if absolutely nobody was responding? Probably not, especially if it's a professional activity. I mean, you have to make it pay off, right? Right. Otherwise, there's a lot of other things you could be doing. And if you're blogging and nobody's ever responding, no offense, but you're doing it wrong, you know? And at that point, it's time to reevaluate. And it isn't necessarily time to quit blogging. It's time to shift your approach to how you're doing it, because all the Facebook ads in the world and all the, you know, pay-per-click stuff, maybe you'll get an initial hit, but people aren't going to come back if you're not telling them a story that connects with them.
I wanted to take a step back because we were talking a little earlier about your ideal client. So I'm imagining, you know, as a private practitioner, let's say, so I guess, not at all to put you on the spot, but like, is it better, for example, let's say that, you work with young professionals who struggle with depression, right? Like, so let's just take that example. How would you incorporate, like, knowing that's your ideal client, how would you like create blog content around that?
So a lot of it is listening carefully, understanding what they themselves are struggling with. And that's both by conscious listening when you're in an online space. Mm-hmm. And it's also by, you know, recognizing the stories that are coming up when you're in session with people. Mm-hmm. And of course, with your ethical boundaries, you would never ever share a story in any sort of verbatim way. But as private practice professionals, you're a story keeper. You're always collecting stories. You're marinating in them all the time. So you can start to think about, okay, I've got this well of understanding what my client is going through, what that persona, you know, because you really can sort of create an amalgam. And your ideal client, unfortunately, it also becomes sort of their ideal suffering in a way, because that's part of course, the blogging that we'd be doing in this space is speaking to the problems, speaking to the concerns of your person and what they're dealing with. So that's one way, is that you start looking at the people you're interacting with every day, and you're starting to read what they're reading, understand what is affecting them. And then there's also the side of it that comes from your own personal stories and knowing you need to have your own boundaries up and what's appropriate to share, but knowing that there's a lot from your own life that you potentially could draw on. Because most often we tend to work with clients who we have an affinity with, that there's something about our own story that resonates with where they are right now. Mm. And so, it isn't necessarily a story of, okay, and so this is how I beat my own depression, and going deep into that, if that feels like, oh, wow, okay, that's way more information than I'm prepared to share. But instead, it's potentially, when you have a solution that you use every day in your life, when you feel like, oh, you know, I'm feeling really run down, and I know that eventually this could lead to a bout of depression. How do you look at how do you present that solution that you have? You know, whether it's, a self-care routine, or it's making time for your family, or, you know, blocking out an afternoon once a month where you're going to go, ride on roller coasters. Looking at those situations as potential material for a story, and kind of guiding people through that process of, this is the conflict. This is the solution. This is the transformation that was possible, thanks to enacting some of these techniques or strategies.
My mind is kind of blown. This is like amazing. Like, it's just a different way of like looking at blogging and just like content creation, right? Like, there's something that's, and I think the piece that was coming up for me is, I feel like we as clinicians are naturally good, right, like at this element. I think we just need to kind of own that when it comes to writing it and blogging about it.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really about, you know, stepping into who you always are, and it's allowing yourself to be on the page in a similar way to how you are in your office and in your interactions with the people you meet every day.
Yeah. So how do you, and we were talking about this like right before we started recording, how do you show up like every single week or, you know, whatever your block schedule is, and create that content that has story and that connects with potential website visitors.
It's funny, actually, I just wrote a blog post about this yesterday because I made the crazy decision to write 365 strong stories. So I'm committed to blogging every single day of 2016. Wow. Yeah, it was an interesting choice I made on New Year's Eve. I'm not quitting. But I'm figuring out new ways to pull people in, including actually having featuring a clinician every week or a healer who's talking about mindset shifts and talking about, you know, we tell ourselves internal stories because let's remember we talk about storytelling in this sort of broad way where we're picturing reading a story to a child or watching a movie or our television show. We all know we have our own internal stories, right? And those are not necessarily beginning, middle, and end, and all that positive. Oftentimes, they're the ones that really drag us down. So I've introduced this new feature that is having people kind of share their quick mindset shift that maybe just be a one-liner. I just featured Rebecca Wong earlier this week, and hers was do less, hold more. And, you know, if you can have that as your mantra and your story shifter, how does that help you personally, and how does that help your clients? But that I just totally shifted topics from what you had raised for me, Melvin. Please ask me what you did again. I sidetracked myself there.
No, I think you answered it really well. Like, how do you...
Oh, showing up every day. Yeah. So, okay, don't do what I did unless you are a little bit crazy. I believe in 365 projects. They have an enormous amount of benefit, but I've often done them with photos, not with actual writing every day. But this just speaks to the fact that when you think about setting up an editorial calendar for yourself, when you're setting up your own writing plan, build in reality and build in compassion. And, you know, when you name something 365, there's not a lot of wiggle room there, like none, because if I figure if I don't do it tomorrow, I will have failed. And that's my own story that I'm working with. But when you figure out what your publishing schedule is going to be, you know, if you miss a week, then that's okay, potentially. Or you look back to past things you've done, you repurpose. You know, because it can be very hard to show up to tell a story when you're really feeling down, when you aren't able to connect with your own story, with your own why, and you're just kind of stuck in the mud. So that's one aspect of it. So you're just feeling uninspired, writing process, either the option not to do it, or the writing process as a healing process to say, I'm going to, you know, ease into this very compassionately, let it take a while, have a lot of tea breaks, wrap myself up in a corner of the couch with a blanket and write this out in my journal first and see how this can help my own personal process. That will not by any means be your final draft, but it's often by accessing, where am I right now in my own story? What do I need to pay attention to? What was the set of conflicts and resolutions and unresolved issues that are getting me to where I am right now? Are those similar to something that my ideal client is facing? How can I kind of write out what I call the self-focused first draft, which is a version, you know, because in Brené Brown borrowed from Anne Lamott, I don't want to say the SH blank blank Y first draft and get you a, have to put an E next to your podcast. But they talk about that. And instead of that, that's messy. That's whatever. A self-focused first draft. That's like, this is my story. This is the stuff that I need to get through. And then give yourself the time to come back and say, okay, these are the elements that I'm comfortable with sharing. These are the elements that are helpful to my ideal reader. This is what I can now turn into a solution for them, an actionable step, and potentially a list of three recommendations of what to do when you're suffering from this or that problem.
Marisa, I wanted to wrap up by talking about the story triangle, because when you were describing it earlier, I was like, wow, this is really interesting. So share a little bit about the story triangle and why that's such an important element to crafting stories.
I think that for me, the story triangle is the how, because it's easy to talk a lot about stories and how they're important and how it would be great if you were telling more of them. The story triangle is about a balance, a three-way balancing act that's a doable balancing act between storyteller, audience, and story. And it's recognizing that there's a relationship between those three elements. And when you can keep all of those elements balanced, you're telling a strong story. You're telling a story that connects. So that means that you're looking at yourself as the storyteller. You're telling something that matters to you. Because if it matters to you, it's going to matter to your audience. It's going to matter to your reader. And you're also looking to the reader and asking, well, as the story that I'm telling, something that will matter to them. Because, you know, your own personal narratives, there's strength and there's space for that. But the thing that you're going to be sharing is because it resonates with the person you're talking to. And the third piece is the story itself. That's sort of the vehicle. That's the, it may be the setting and the characters. It may just be the situation and the setup. It's the kind of the piece that holds everything together, again, in relationship to you as the storyteller, that this is a narrative that you feel like you really want to share, and in relation to the reader, that this is something that will help change them in some important way. Because ultimately, the goal of telling a story is to help people change and to make the changes that they want in their lives.
Hmm. Yeah, beautifully said. Marisa, thank you so much for doing this. I feel like 25 minutes does not do justice to, like, we could talk about this forever, but it's just, it's amazing. Like, I for me, I just hearing you talk, just thinking about the website so differently and thinking about blogging so differently, I mean, it's amazing. I think it's much less pressure when you think of it as showing up, right? And showing and sharing our story, as opposed to this is a thing that I feel burdened with and that I have to do.
Yeah, when it's storytelling, not a marketing activity, It changes the whole process. You become part of the process. And something that you're going to show up and do regularly, it needs to be part of you and part of your self-expression.
Yeah, and especially I think in the profession that we're in, right? That's such the human connection is such an important element to it.
Yeah, we're not selling widgets here, you know. We're selling healing, we're selling stories, and it becomes a lot less like selling when you can look at that that way.
Right. We're not selling couches. Bad joke.
All right. Exactly.
Marisa, what are some of the best ways that folks can get in touch with you?
My own website is marisagowdy.com. That's where you'll see my 365 strong stories coming up every day. And that's, I'm also have some other webinars related to the storytelling triangle and some courses related to that. But you also can find me over at the Practice of Being Seen, which is my joint collaboration with Rebecca Wong, who I know has been on this podcast before and is part of your community. And that's a Facebook group that we have for clinicians and really diving into the why and you know who you are and how you show up and what stories you tell and tying together those pieces as part of your everyday practice of living, of being with clients, and of building your brand. And the best way to find that is at connectfulness.com. If you go to the tab that says for professionals, you'll find the Practice of Being Seen connected through that.
Awesome. I actually joined the group, so looking forward to learning from you guys.
Yay! I'm so glad to get to know you better in that space, because it's a space where, you know, we really invite people to get vulnerable. It's a safe place to kind of go through those first self-focused drafts and have some witnesses and some support as you develop them into the stories that you're ready to tell to the world.
Marisa, I'm really grateful for the work that you're doing in the world. I'm grateful that Rebecca connected us, and can't wait for you guys and how everything with Connectfulness will evolve.
Yes. Thank you so much, Melvin.
Take good care.
You too.
Hey, what's up? Hope you enjoyed my conversation with Marisa, and hope that today's conversation has you motivated about thinking about the content that you're creating on your website and just looking at your private practice website in a different light. You know, one of the key things that really stood out to me is that we talk a lot about, you know, as clinicians, we think a lot about building trust and rapport within session. But I think a lot of those same elements happen on our websites, right? And story is a great way to connect with potential clients and those clients that you really want to work with. Marissa mentioned a number of things, so you can find detailed show notes that outlines those. You can find that at sellingthecouch.com/session and the number 74. Marissa is doing a number of things, and you can again find all of that information at marissagoudy.com, G-O-U-D-Y. She also has a e-course coming out called You, Your Stories, and Your Audience. I've heard really good things about this course, so I encourage you to check it out. Again, you can find all of that information on Marissa's website. As we wrap up, I just wanted to share that I will be starting podcasting workshops back up this month. If you're listening to this in the future, they will likely be continuing. You can find more information about this month and future months at sellingthecouch.com/podcasting workshop. Or you can just text the word pod workshop, all one word, to 44222. Again, that's the word pod workshop to 44222. These workshops are a very combination of very practical things like how do you record your first episode on a budget, all the way to some of the more strategic and business lessons that you can incorporate into launching your podcast and how you can really start to use it to grow your practice. It'll be on Wednesday, May 18th from 3 to 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And I think for the time being, I'll only be doing these workshops once a month. So if you really have been thinking about podcasting and want to jump in or just curious about podcasting, it's a great time to learn. It's a great time to launch a podcast. I encourage you to check out the workshop and learn more. And I'd love to connect with you. As much as I enjoy chatting over a podcast and enjoy chatting with you guys over social media, I just love to meet you guys in person. Thank you again for taking the time to listen to today's session, and I will see you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Selling the Couch podcast. For more great content and to stay up to date, visit www.sellingthecouch.com.
So if you've been listening to the STC podcast for a while, or you've been listening to podcasts and you've had this thought of, Mel, I would love to launch my own podcast in order to grow my business, just wanted to encourage you to check out our free podcasting workshop, which is over at sellingthecouch.com/podcasting workshop. You can basically sign up at a day and a time that works for you. It's 90 minutes. And when I do these workshops or when I record them, I truly believe in the quality teaching, so it's going to be well worth your time. We're going to go through gear recommendations and how to launch strategically and how to think about monetizing your podcast and how to line up your podcast with your existing offers and how to do it strategically and authentically and not salesy and slimy and all of those things. So again, the link is over at sellingthecouch.com/podcasting workshop.